Hey, this is Luis Pereira from readsomethinggreat.com, and you're listening to Codeless. I do a range of things on the internet. I try to follow things that I find fun. Goa was a Portuguese colony for 450 years up till 1961. About 30% of the people Catholics. You'll find a lot of Portuguese names and Portuguese architecture. We were part of Portugal even after India became independent from the British. I studied economics in college, so I'm a non-technical guy, but I always had a fascination with starting business because I come from a fairly entrepreneurial family. And I applied to the OnDeck No-Code Fellowship because I want to get in on the bleeding edge. Let's see what everyone in the no-code world is doing at this point. So you can go from idea to revenue in 12 hours. Building is not the hard part. Like, knowing what to build is the hard part. Ever since I learned Bubble, I've stopped trying to teach myself how to code.
All right. Hey, Luis, welcome to Codeless. It's so awesome to have you. How are you doing today?
Happy to be here. I'm doing quite good. It's late in the evening here in India, but pumped for this chat.
So I'm recording in the afternoon here in the US and it's midnight in India. Wow. Thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. So Luis, let's get right into it. How do you introduce yourself? Like, I found you through Half Day Build, which is a program I participated in, and I looked you up, but there's so much about you. How do you introduce yourself?
So I live a very dual life at the moment. I live completely offline during the day where I work a full-time job with my family business, running a completely offline traditional business. And in the second half of my day, I just mess around on the internet. And I do a range of things on the internet. I try to follow things that I find fun. I don't make a lot of money on the internet yet, at least. But I write a couple of newsletters. I build tools at a higher than average pace, just having fun. That's my default mode of entertainment at this point. It's a long answer to a simple question, but it is what it is.
Oh man, that's awesome, Luis. So I'm surprised to hear you say that you have a real offline life outside of Twitter, because to most people on Twitter, it looks like that is life. So like, you have an offline business totally unrelated to no code or anything. Like, what is it? Can you surprise us so that like, where we understand you have a real life?
Yeah. So during the day, I work with my family in a family run business where we run a few supermarkets, a couple of small hotels, and some restaurants and other retail stores as well. I bring up the average by living on the internet completely post 8 p.m. I mean, I fit the average even though I'm the average of two extremes.
This is awesome. I got to ask you this. What's the story with the name Luis Pereira? You're like, you're in India. I'm imagining your name to be something else. So yeah, you got to give me the story.
Yeah. So I live in a state called Goa on the west coast of India. And Goa was a Portuguese colony for 450 years, right up till 1961, which is when it got liberation. So Goa has a very Portuguese leaning culture. About 30% of the people here are Catholics. So you'll find a lot of not only Portuguese names and stuff, you'll also find like Portuguese architecture, a lot of churches all around. So India as a country is just very diverse. Like, every state has its own culture. And within that, Goa is one extreme, because we were actually a part of Portugal even after India became independent from the British for about 14 years. So yeah, that's where the name comes from.
That is really interesting. Okay, now that we've got through introducing yourself and some of the really unique stuff about you, how did you like get to this point today? Like, how would you describe the journey from where you were to like now you're on the internet and you're building all these amazing projects that we're going to talk about? Like, each one on its own is just like beautiful and amazing. But what's the story from back then to today?
So it's one of compulsion, actually. I studied economics in college, so I'm a non-technical guy. But at the same time, always had a fascination with starting businesses because I come from a fairly entrepreneurial family. And post-college, worked in consulting for a bit, decided to then quit to start up with a couple of friends, and then faced the problem, both of us not being technical founders. We were solving a fairly real-world problem, but as it is in the startup world, you need to have some technology. That's the only way you can scale easily. So I became the de facto tech co-founder at that point. This was back in 2016, 2015. And then for a non-technical co-founder who's trying to be a technical co-founder, you have two options. One is learn how to code and then figure it out, or figure out how to use no code tool. I tried them both. The first one very unsuccessfully, because it's difficult to learn how to code and run a, you know, business simultaneously and implement what you're learning at the same time. So gave up on that and just stitched together a few no-code tools to build our tech stack back then. The company failed, but the tech stack was actually quite impressive, like looking back now. And I think when the pandemic hit, I think it was early or late 2020 where I was like, I want to try and get back into no-code. And I applied to a fellowship called the OnDeck No-Code Fellowship, just because I felt I want to get in on the bleeding edge. Let's see what everyone in the no-code world is doing at this point. And that's where things changed, man. I started that cohort in January of 2021, I think. And discovered Bubble there, made it my goal to just learn Bubble. And ever since I learned Bubble, I've stopped trying to teach myself how to code. Because even in the years preceding that, so like 2017 to 2020, I had tried to teach myself how to code maybe three or four times. Failed every single time. And ever since I've discovered Bubble, it just feels like I can build so many of the ideas that I have. Whereas earlier, you had to think of what you were capable of building and then filter every idea through it. So you were always restricting your imagination in terms of what you could build because of the skills that you lack. But Bubble really expands that for you. So now you can just think about what you want to build. And there's an 85 to 90% chance maybe that it's possible to build some version of that in Bubble.
That's amazing. Two surprising facts. Number one is I was in the same OnDeck no-code cohort as you. That's very interesting. And then second is my co-founder and I are also building this product called LaunchDash in Bubble. So I just love how you went into the whole thing about Bubble. We've done an episode on Bubble before. That's awesome. Okay, so let's just get into like your projects. Why don't we just talk about each one briefly? I really want to dig into Have They Build later on, but why don't you just go over your projects and we'll include a link to your bio link so that people can go through all of them. So why don't you start?
Yeah. So I mean, it was not the easiest no-code tool to pick up. So it took me like a few weeks. It took me, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks to just get the basics. And initially I just started building like the dumbest possible apps that I could build just to have built something in Bubble. So a lot of the stuff that I've built doesn't exist anymore because Bubble costs like $29 a month. And I was like, I'm not paying that for something that is this dumb. Actually, nobody's using it. But I think right now what I've got live on Bubble, if I'm not wrong, I think 4 projects. One is called Threads by Me, which is like the domain is threadsby.me. So Threads by Me. It's a place for people on Twitter that are writing a bunch of Twitter threads to store all of their threads. So it's like a LinkedIn bio, but for Twitter with a little more. It's not a super pretty tool, but it's doing its job. It has about, I think, 200 and something active users at this point. It's free. So anyone wants to sign up if you write threads. I don't know. I might start charging for it at some point, but at the moment it's free. I've started collecting like testimonials and stuff to add social proof to the homepage before I put a price on it. The second tool is a tool that I do charge for. It's called Creator Link. The domain is crtr.link. It's basically a LinkedIn bio tool that I built for myself because I was trying to get a good LinkedIn bio tool and I didn't like any of them. And personal websites were too much of a pain for me to build and maintain. So I built something that sits right in between. So something that if a website builder and, you know, Linktree had a kid, it would look Creator Link. So that's what I was going for. Has a few users, a few paying users as well. I think right now the pricing is $60 a year. I like it. I use it for myself. Still got to improve it here and there, include custom domains, etc. Something I plan on doing this year. But yeah, that's tool number two. Tool number three is the one that I'm most proud of. It's called Read Something Great. It's also built on Bubble. It's a discovery engine for high quality written articles on the internet. So it's just readsomethinggreat.com. Launched it almost as an accident. I wanted to build Product Hunt for newsletter writers. I write a couple of newsletters and I have a lot of newsletter friends that write really well, but don't have audiences. So I wanted to solve the problem of helping folks discover, you know, undiscovered talent in the newsletter world. And then after a few conversations with people, figured out that a marketplace might be difficult to build. And so decided to just bootstrap supply and curate the supply myself and see if the demand came. So I built this website. It's a simple website. It just shows you 5 articles that are great, curated by me. You press a button, it shows you 5 more. That's about it. There's no scrolling involved. There's no like endless news feeds involved. There's no social aspect involved to waste your time on it. Just super high quality content. And it's doing quite well at the moment. It sees between 1,000 and 2,000 people per day on the site. And I am planning on growing it in some very interesting ways this year. I want to give people the ability to be curators. So just Read Something Great's main page right now has stuff that I've curated. I want to let Edmund curate his own page around topics that he's an expert on. It could be no code for you, it could be something else. So I want to find people that are experts in certain niches and let them create their own pages on this website And eventually that all funnel into a sort of a personal digest for readers where they can create their own homepage with different curators content on it. So I want to replace this endless scroll that we've got going on pretty much every social app right now. So I want to build like a very anti-social, anti-scroll, high usefulness sort of app for the world. Hopefully that works out in 2022. I was just going to plug another project that I've built that isn't on Bubble. I actually built it on Card in 10 minutes, but it's again something that I like. It's called Focus 25. The domain is focus25.c. It's a single page website that I built when I couldn't focus on something. And all it does is it provides you with an embedded playlist on Spotify, which is my favorite focus playlist. It's called Deep Focus. So it's got the playlist on it. It's got a massive timer on top of the playlist, which the moment you open the site, it just starts counting down from 25 minutes to zero. So it's a nice sort of site to open when you got five tasks to do and you just want to sit down and focus for 25 minutes and just get them done. We just open the site, the timer starts automatically, press a button, you get like focus music on your headphones and just work until the end. It's one of the sites I'm proud of because it showed me that it was possible to build something that was useful in literally 10 minutes. So yeah, no code is really powerful, even if you just have like 10 minutes.
Love that. I know you talked about founding a startup with your buddies and having to be the technical, co-founder. And then eventually that didn't work out. And then you're on this process of coding and not coding and then finding Bubble, just like an amazing like thread that you're weaving here. Would you say that finding no code or Bubble and really like diving deeper was when things like changed for you?
Yeah, for sure. 100%. I had played around with a bunch of tools, but not a single one of them comes close to Bubble. It's much easier to build in stuff like Softer or Glide and etc. But it's also much more limiting. Like if you want a specific use case that they service really, I would go with them for sure. But if that use case then expands, you can't really do much about it. You gotta use something more complex. I think probably Bubble or Builder or maybe Webflow. I'm not an expert at the others. But yeah, Bubble for sure. I would recommend it to every person on the planet. If you've got 3 weeks to spare and you want to learn something that'll change the way you look at the world, learn Bubble.
Yeah. Love it. So Louis, you're in India. What's the scene like in India with no code? What do you think the feeling or the temperature is for no code where you're at in your scene?
Definitely growing. So I don't think I'm at the center of the no code community in India just yet. I don't have a very good feel for it, but I know a few people, shout out to Madhuri, I think Vensi and Kavir as well, who are very active of that community. It's really cool to see that people from all walks of life, from different parts of the country, different age groups as well, are suddenly discovering that this exists. I was surprised that people didn't know about it because I kind of accidentally stumbled into it back in 2015. And so maybe I was fortunate, but it's like I've known about it for so long that I was surprised that it wasn't already a big deal. I don't think it is a big deal just yet, but I'm sure it's growing. I know a lot of folks that are working very hard to grow the ecosystem here as well. And I'm overall very bullish because like India at the moment has a lot of people. By default, that means we have a lot of smart people as well. And right now, the number of English speakers in the country is also high and growing. So I see no code as a way for the average Indian non-technical person to build products that can be used by the world.
Yeah, I agree with that statistically and even qualitatively. Definitely agree with that. All right. I want to get into the reason I invited you to Codeless, and it was half day build. I don't want to steal the thunder and explain it, but just please explain half day build to us.
Cool. So half day build is, I give you a bit of backstory first, and then maybe explain it. It'll be simpler that way. I woke up one morning in, I think it was November, and while having a shower, I just had a random idea. I was like, hey, people should make memes and print them on mugs. Like, why don't people print memes on mugs? Right? Like, it should be possible. Everyone has their own memes customized. I was like, you know what? This seems like a pretty simple thing to build. If I could use Shopify and I can find some sort of dropshipper, I could build this. So I just called a friend of mine, in fact, my co-founder from the company I ran. I was like, hey, what do you think of this idea? Should I try and build this? He was like, yeah, sounds like fun. What's the worst that could happen? And it was a busy week for me. So I was like, man, I don't want to spend like, days on this thing. This is going to be pointless. And I was like, can I do this? And I was like, yeah, it should be possible in 12 hours. Like, why not? So I just like right there just tweeted out being like, hey, I got this idea. I'm going to try and take it from start to finish and generate revenue within 12 hours. And I'll live tweet, you know, what happens. You guys can watch me fail in public or watch me succeed in public. And yeah, I spent 12 hours just building that. It took me less than 12 hours to build it. Took me a few hours to like curate memes and stuff to get printed on the mug. So I used like Shopify, I used a dropshipping tool called Gelato and got it up. And I actually managed to get revenue not before the 12 hour mark. I think it took me 12 and a half hours before someone bought something. But that's where it all started. The site doesn't exist anymore. I took it down because it was getting annoying with like international shipping and stuff, where some parcels just weren't reaching people. And then I was like, I don't want to manage this. And it costed me like $40 a month to keep up. So I was like, I'm going to pull the site down. But that was the first thing I built. I was like, wow, so you can go from idea to revenue in 12 hours or so. And people on Twitter were, wow, this is amazing. We should do this too. So then I was like, okay, it's not going to cost me anything, even in terms of time, to just let other people come and do this alongside me. The worst case scenario is they'll waste 12 hours of that, but they'll learn a lot, right? Like maybe they won't make money. Maybe their product will suck. Maybe they just won't even launch. But if they dedicate 12 hours to focusing on a single product, they'll learn a ton. And hopefully they'll have fun as well, because if they're in a Discord or a Slack with a bunch of other builders that are just building for fun, everyone will have a good time. And so then I tweeted out, I was like, hey, this was fun for me. Is anyone else here interested in doing this? And my goal was like, okay, if 10 people subscribe or like 10 people say yes, I like do this. I'll make it a thing. And yeah, and I got a few, like we had 100 and something signups where folks were interested. So I created a temporary Discord that I start and, you know, I open up every month and delete at the end of the event because I don't want to burden people with too many Discords messages and stuff. But that's where it's at the moment. Like every month or maybe every alternate month starting from now, one Sunday, I just pick a random Sunday in the month. I float the idea on Twitter saying, hey, half day build is happening on this day. People apply, they join the Discord. It's free. I don't make any money off of it. I also don't do much work for it. All I do is just try to collect a self-organizing bunch of motivated builders who don't require me to spoon feed them or anything of that sort. Put them in a single Discord, let them help each other. I help whoever I can as well. No strings attached, just everyone turns up, everyone has the freedom to fail in public because they're failing collectively. So this is something I stumbled upon where I realized that people are afraid to go on Twitter and just say, hey, I'm building something when they have 10 followers or 20 followers. Fair enough. But if you tell them that there are 30 other people that are going to be doing the exact same thing at the exact same time, and they're all going to be using this hashtag half day build, it's not so scary anymore. So suddenly a bunch of folks are like, okay, man, I'm going to do this. Like I'll go and do this in public. Worst case scenario, I'm a part of a group out of which some of us failed. Fine. And it was great. We had the first ever group, first half day build in December. And it was great. I know you participated. So yeah, the energy was nice. We saw some cool projects. The next one's on this weekend. In fact, it's on the 9th of January. See how that goes. Yeah, the idea is just to give budding or aspiring builders the ability to come together and throw the dice, fail or succeed, but do it publicly and don't worry about it. And so far, it seems to be working.
I'm a big fan. So I joined the first half day build, had a lot of fun. Couple things. I love the idea that you create the Discord and then burn it down once the half day build is done. Second was when I participated, one of the things that I loved about it was I had to force myself to think of what I could build in 12 hours. Then I actually restricted that down to 4 hours because I was like, it's actually going to take you 3 times as much as you think to do whatever you think you can do in 12. So I restricted myself to like a very simple product, which was how to launch on Product Hunt in 24 hours. And I ended up figuring out how to launch on Product Hunt in 24 hours. But here's the thing, Louis. Here's the thing. Within 48 hours following half day build, I literally had to help someone launch on Product Hunt in less than 24 hours. And I knew how to do it.
Just one more point about half day build. Like the challenge is not just to build and launch. The challenge is to build, launch, and monetize within 12 hours. Right. The reason for the monetize bit is twofold. One is people like to think of the opportunity of actually making money while building something other than just, you know, spending time building something. So that it serves as a nice way to market the product. Because there's a potential that you could make money. And two is because I know people are scared to charge, like myself included. Like we're always scared to build and actually charge a fee. because it slaps us in the face with reality, saying, hey, people don't care what you build. But it's better to get that slap early than late. So you can even charge for like a pre-order. You don't have to have the whole thing ready to charge people from starting from day one, but you could charge like a small fee just to say that you're pre-selling your product or book your you know, fixed price for later, whatever it is. But the challenge is to actually put that price out there and try to get people to pay for it. And if they don't pay for it, at least you've learned that you're building something that nobody wants. And you've learned it in 12 hours as opposed to 2 months or 3 months or whatever.
Yeah, that's perfect. I also forgot to tell you that I actually got paid to do that. So that was, and then the second thing is, I got to warn you, because if you have me as a friend, one of the things I'm very bullish and very forceful about, is for all my friends to make money. So I force my friends to charge more. In fact, I can't prove that there's a correlation, but most of the people that are friends with me that talk about building products make money. I'm not saying it's me, but I... That's right. We're going to make sure you make more money on the internet. Okay, Louis, I have a surprise for you. And you don't know this is coming, so this is going to be perfect. But we have someone from Half Day Business. Yeah.
Nice.
And we're not just... Listen, Louis, we're not just going to take your word for it. Okay? Josh, can you hear us? Okay?
Yeah. Can you...
Yeah, man. Can hear you good.
I'm good. How are you?
Awesome. Awesome. Okay, Josh, just 30 seconds. Just introduce yourself.
So I'm Josh Mota. I'm 24 years old. I'm CEO and co-founder of Centauri Robotics, which is a robotics company based in India. We essentially make development hardware and software for students, professionals, you know, companies, startups. In fact, one of our customers recently got featured in Shark Tank India. So we really help in speeding up the prototype and project development process.
Nice. Awesome. Okay. So I got to ask you this. First of all, like, we want the real, like, you described Have They Built for us.
Sure. So I think After Built really comes down to two things. It's focused. Like, there's a short deadline and there's public accountability. You are tweeting about what you're building and real-time progress to your audience. And then there's a community of builders who are in it for 12 hours with you. All of these things, basically what they do is they augment your focus and intensity, which helps you to really drive out the noise and focus on what you do. And yeah, I think that's what is so special about After.
All right, Josh. So tell us about what you built for the last Have They Built.
This thing, dude.
Right.
Oh, hold on. Your screen is blurred. I can't really see
it. But I can describe it on his behalf as a customer. It is, how do I say this? It's a machine that you plug in and it comes with a bunch of cards that are pre-filled. You can choose the theme of these cards. So these cards all have quotes on them. So the theme that I've chosen was stoicism. So my cards have like stoic quotes on them. And every morning it just prints out a card for you to read, and you can use it as like a to-do list or whatever you want to use it as. It's a card that's just like a normal deck of cards. And yeah, it just pops this out every morning. So it's like a nice thing to keep by your bedside. So you wake up to some nice quotes.
Oh my gosh, this is awesome. That's awesome. Awesome. Okay, so Josh, do you already know what you're going to build in this round in January, which starts on the 9th?
Not really. I hope I still have a couple of days. I hope I'll come up with something.
Great, great. To summarize just your thoughts on Have They Built, what would you say you've learned from it? And that those learnings, how would you send them off to other no-coders as advice, especially beginners?
One of the things I knew for me was building in public. So it was a cool experience. I made myself accountable. So there was really this extra accountability on top of me to really finish it within that deadline. Other than that, for no coders, I would say it's all about what you build and not what you build it with. So what really matters is the problem you're solving and the solution you're building and what is going to get you users and what's going to get you revenue. And in fact, no code is a great tool to do that quickly. You shouldn't feel like an imposter if you're using no code tools and there's some full stack developer on Twitter tweeting about concepts you haven't even read about, because like it's what matters is building and shipping.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Over to you, Louis. Like, what have you learned from Have They Built? And what would be your advice to early no-coders?
Yeah, no, I echo everything that Jas just said. So I think the beauty of no-code is accentuated when you have to build something within 12 hours and you're forced to ship it and monetize it. It's probably only possible with no-code unless you're using like code libraries that are already set up. So we don't ask people to build using no-code tools during afterbuild, but like most people do. And it's crazy to even think about how someone sitting in India can build a tool or a website within 12 hours and then monetize by selling it to people from other countries on the other side of the globe. And that just blows my mind every time I think about it. And I hope more people from India and the rest of the world, especially the developing world, get to taste the freedom that brings and the fun that it is. And that's my hope with Afterbuild. It's not a commitment, but it's a hope that I want to build that into eventually.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Let's jump into more about no code. And so after interviewing lots of people for this podcast, there's a term I've come up with and I call it the FUT, like frequently used tools. What would you say are your frequently used tools when you're building products?
Right now, Figma and Bubble. So Figma to design anything and Bubble to build it. Especially if I'm building like a tool that I want to think through. There are other tools that I don't use as frequently, like Notion, Airtable as well, Card as well. But Figma and Bubble is like 80%.
Lewis, in fact, has a good, in the Afterbuild website itself, he has a good page. I didn't know about this company called Card. I actually used Card a few days back, create landing page of one of my products. That's a good resource which people can check out.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome. Let me ask you this, Josh, and maybe you can chime in and we'll throw it back to Lewis. But in spite of everything that you've learned about no code, being exposed to it now, what would you say no code isn't? And then throw it over to Lewis.
That's a great question. So what I feel lacks sometimes is the customization which you get with APIs and stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree with what he said, but I think I would take that from a slightly different angle and say no code is not easy. People assume that no code is like child's play where you can just turn up and build something and you know, sell it on the internet. A, that's wrong because it isn't, or at least the more advanced tools aren't. And B, even if it were, it wouldn't make a difference because building is not the hard part. Like knowing what to build is the hard part. It's like that Jack Butcher meme where he's got like a bill of $100,000 and $1 is the cost of a screw. And the remaining like 900 and something thousand dollars is just knowing which screw to turn. So whether you're a builder using code or no code, how you build does not really matter. It's what you build that matters. And that's the difficult bit. The easiest way to get good at knowing what to build is to build frequently and talk to your users. The easiest way to build frequently is to use no-code tools. So even if you want to build something extremely complex that's possible with code, it very often will make sense to build a simpler version of that without code so that you can ship and iterate and reach a version that people actually want. And then you can rebuild it with code.
Thank you for those answers. All right, we're getting around to closing. And briefly, Lewis, like, other than Have They Build, what are you working on next?
Currently keeping myself busy with the next version of Read Something Great. And outside of that, I'm involved in a new Web3 community called Invisible College. It's a community that's helping folks enter crypto. So I've been involved with them as well. So that takes up a lot of my free time outside of building stuff on Bubble.
What was the name of the community again?
It's called Invisible College. So I think the website is invisiblecollege.xyz.
Great. So next question, I'll have you answer two questions. First of all, I want you to summarize what you think the impact of no code has been over the past 3, 5, 10 years, whatever applies to you and whatever context applies to you. And then second, I want you to make a prediction about the next 3, 5, 10 years regarding no code in any context that applies to you.
So for me, what's happened already and what I think is going to continue to accelerate is no code is going to do to code what the graphical user interface did to like MS-DOS at some point, where initially you would have to type in commands to your computer to get it to do things for you. And then suddenly you could just click on things and things would happen. And that's what no code is doing for the world. It's just letting 99.7% odd of people who don't know how to code, it's letting them use the computers. And I see that accelerating right now what's holding it back is probably the lack of knowledge that no code even exists. But once that proliferates, it's only a matter of time before more and more people become creators of, you know, however small a thing they make. It's just enabling people to have access to a global marketplace that wasn't possible before. And that I think it's very underrated, like not just within the builder community or the no code community. I think even governments should benefit from like inculcating no code in schools or in colleges, because you're essentially giving people the ability to build and monetize their skills on a global platform, which is something that just really never existed before. So yeah, I'm very bullish about it.
What about your predictions about the next 3, 5, 10 years?
At the macro level, my thesis will just play forward in the same sense where more and more people will build. At the micro level, I think I see software becoming a lot cheaper, not because people don't require skills to do it, but just because more people can now. So you'll see MRR numbers falling. You'll see the margins of SaaS companies that don't have network effects falling. There will be a proper upheaval of like democracy or democratization or whatever you want to call it in the software world, where suddenly you realize that the proletariat has risen and they can build things too. And they don't want to charge that much because it's just one guy in a basement somewhere instead of you and your 10,000 person company. And that's not going to stop. So if anyone's building things, they've got to be very careful about trying to build in network effects so that they have a moat to defend or build like maybe a status driven brand of sorts. But you'll see like the commoditization of software because everyone can build it.
That's awesome. Josh, so the first question is, summarize the impact of no code in the last 3, 5, 10 years in whatever context that applies to you.
So personally for me, we started selling on Sanctuary Robotics, using RazorPay, which is kind of a version of Stripe, an Indian version of Stripe, essentially, which offers no code solutions to accept payments. They are called payment pages. That was how we started the e-commerce. And without that, I think it would have been very difficult. We would probably would not have gone the D2C route and probably would have tried a different distribution channel altogether. So if we are saying that the world is moving towards the virtual world is building up, then the no code solution, as Louis also said, is essentially allowing just about anyone to open their shop.
Okay. The second question, what do you then predict 3, 5, 10 years, but in whatever context that applies to you for no code?
That's a tough one for me because I'm still a rookie in no code. What I can say is there's going to be clashes between all the development which has happened so far. So for example, we have had GPT-3. We got a flavor of how these tools can work. So if you mix and match all of those things, I think what could come out of it is you simply describe a synopsis of what you want to build. I think in the next few years, you can just give a general idea of what you want to achieve without the underlying specifications of how the page should look, how the form should look.
Yeah, I think the intersection of AI and no code will be quite fascinating to watch.
All right, we're going to be, you know, closing out shortly. Louis, we always give our guests the benefit of suggesting or recommending someone else that should be on Codeless.
I have a couple of people in mind. Dan Parry. There's also Vritti Saraf. She's building in the education space in India. Vensi Krishna is doing some cool stuff. Kavir Casey also. And Madhuri would also be a good person.
This is awesome. Folks, I really want to thank you so much for joining us. Before we go, Louis, where can people find you?
Twitter, at Louis Pereira, LouisPereira.
Josh, where can people find you?
People can find you at Josh_Mota.
All right, cool. Listen, I want to thank you for joining us and spending this time talking about your projects. Have they built? Louis, Josh, really appreciate your time. And yeah, would love to see what comes of the Have They Built in January.
Sure, man. Thanks. And hope to see you there. Right. Both of you, actually. Do you know what you're building this weekend?
So I'm not sure yet, but at a minimum, I will selfishly build something I'm already working on that I want to finish.
Yeah, it's the best thing to do, man. Build something for yourself and then just hope that there are people like you. That's what I always do.
The last two times have been too hectic. Like those 12 hours, I'm just going crazy trying to figure out how I'm going to get this done in time. So this time I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to build something in Notion. So like a Notion dashboard. I've built stuff in Notion before. And like surprisingly, there are a few of these Notion marketplaces that sell templates. And every few days I get a sale of some random old template. So it's no effort to monetize, basically. I don't know what the Notion template will be, but I'm leaning towards something to do with pet. Because I have a dog and I know there's like a bunch of things I need to keep track of with him. And let's see, I'll figure out something to do with pets and sell it for $9 or something. Actually, a portfolio of Notion templates is not a bad idea to just, you know, keep building on and then just keep uploading them on all of these Notion marketplaces, because they get like an affiliate fee if it's a Gumroad template. So they'll keep like 20% or something. But you have zero effort. Like you just upload it there and forget about it like for years. And you just generate revenue once in a while. And it'll take you like 12 hours to build, maybe less.
Awesome, folks. Thank you so much.
Cool, man. Good luck and see you guys on Sunday.
All right, guys. Bye.
Night. Cheers.
Bye.